Thanks, Domati. It's Justin here. Justin Kaufman's download. 312-981-7200. I'm with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Well, the story that won the internet today is a haunting one about Chicago superstar R. Kelly. According to the story in BuzzFeed, R. Kelly is being accused of creating a cult-like environment in Atlanta and Chicago, where he lures in young women of age with the promise of singing careers. They're separated from their families, brainwashed, in some cases physically and verbally abused. The story is chilling. And today, there was a press conference with the parents who were pushing for authorities to help bring their daughters home. The writer is former Chicago Sun-Times journalist Jim DeRogatis. DeRogatis, of course, broke the story of R. Kelly's infamous sex tape with the underage girl and has continued to cover the lurid details of a pop star who leaves an eye-opening trail of illicit and possibly criminal behavior in his wake, all the while continuing to tour, make music, and make money selling said music to the masses. I worked with Jim DeRogatis a few years back on a couple of these stories, including when Pitchfork brought R. Kelly to the festival, and I welcome him back to the download. Jim, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, Justin, it's always a pleasure to chat, my old friend.
So, what a story. And, you know, it's amazing to me because, you know, you have had a history of telling the stories, as I just mentioned, the lurid stories of this pop star and what happens behind closed doors. I mean, how do these stories come to you? I mean, I'd give away the sources, things like that, but I mean,
The fact that I've been on this story since 2000 now, you know, including for many years at the Chicago Sun-Times, these parents in Georgia contacted me in early November with a harrowing tale about their daughter being held by Kelly. They said brainwashed, they say in a cult, and they had been to the police. They had been to lawyers. They were getting no help and still have gotten no help from anyone. They have been interviewed extensively by the FBI. They're optimistic maybe that will produce something. They came to the media not for attention, not for money, not for anything other than to get help for their daughter, and they came to me.
Let's talk about this story, an alarming one, because it really, like you said, I mean, as the story says, they say cult-like, they say brainwashed, they talk about mental and physical abuse, and it's not just the parents. Other women who have been involved with R. Kelly in certain situations have come forward as well.
There are three very brave women who are quoted by name in the story. The only reason the parents aren't quoted by name in the story is that we did not want to compromise, invade the privacy of their daughters. But this afternoon, two of the parents and one of the women who was named in the story gave a press conference in front of one of the homes in Georgia where Kelly houses these women. He either houses them in a guest house around the corner from his mansion in Georgia, or he houses them on Justine Street, half a block away from Union Park, where he headlined the Pitchfork Music Festival in 2013. He rents a recording studio there while he lives on the 37th floor of Trump Tower.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can understand.
There's three women quoted by name in the story. Two of them are very brave, and they were part of what one of the women calls Kelly's cult, involved in sexual relationships with him for a year, year and a half each. And the other woman is a former personal assistant who had a nondisclosure agreement with Kelly but spoke on the record with her name despite the threat of him being able to sue her.
Well, I mean, tonight R. Kelly does put out a statement released to Variety. It says, Mr. Robert Kelly is both alarmed and disturbed at the recent revelations attributed to him. Mr. Kelly unequivocally denies such allegations and will work diligently and forcibly to pursue his accusers and clear his name.
Yeah, to which BuzzFeed replied that they stand by every word that they printed today.
I mean, this story, and it's and the reason that it's burning up the internet is it's something out of a terrible thriller. I mean, this idea that we talk about cult, brainwash, otherwise, but for everything that goes into it, the idea of how he has the girls dressed to how he treats them in front of other people or when they interact with other men, how he chastises them and berates them. I mean, it really is. It reads like a psychological thriller gone wrong.
Well, at various points, it was triple the length. Obviously, with a story like this, in the wake of the ruling in the Hulk Hogan case that brought Gawker down, it's exceedingly hard to publish in the current journalistic climate. And so BuzzFeed was fearless in doing that. I had two brilliant editors, one of them a young woman from Chicago, Justin, who grew up reading me, and you, Marissa Carroll. She's a great editor, and BuzzFeed had two brilliant editors and two great lawyers, and we worked on it 24/7.
It's amazing to me. Jim, what, I mean, as you follow the career of R. Kelly, what is it about this story that keeps bringing you back? I mean, obviously, you know.
Well, I tell you, Justin, I think it's a travesty that the music industry and the entertainment journalism industry continue to, as my students at Columbia College say, co-sign this artist. He headlined the Star Plaza in Merrillville Saturday. He is part of an endorsement deal with the Alexander Wang fashion line. He records, Lady Gaga records a song with him in 2013, then appears with him on Saturday Night Live in a weird performance wherein she pretended to fellate him at the Oval Office, a la Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, right.
And RCA Records, he continues to be one of the top sellers. They don't make any statement since this story's come out. And nevertheless, they put out their Christmas album, his Christmas album, this holiday season. And on the day before, the night before Christmas, he appears on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, getting a big old bear hug from Fallon and singing his Christmas songs. You know, Bill Cosby, who accomplished an incredible amount of good in his world, in television and film, for decades, will never recover from the brave women's allegations. 30-some-odd women appeared on the cover of New York Magazine with their faces and names behind the allegations. And regardless of what happens the second time he's tried, he's never going to recover in the pop spotlight. And it's a tragedy, certainly. But Kelly continues Teflon-like, despite having been tried and acquitted on 14 counts of making child pornography, despite a decade-long series of stories in the Chicago Sun-Times. This was never one woman or two women. This is dozens of women, young black women in Chicago, who he's been hurting for more than two and a half decades, since the mid-90s.
I know, because I've worked with stories on you. I mean, there's evidence that's mounted. There's people that have come forward. But a lot of times, and this is sort of the known story in Chicago, is that the accusers, the victims, they'll back out, they'll be paid off, they'll be, you know, other things. I mean, you saw this with the trial.
He's settled more than a dozen lawsuits from young women, courtesy of a Chicago attorney named Susan Loggins, who, you know, several of these lawsuits initially were filed and remained public record in the Cook County court system. But there came a point where it was almost like a settlement factory. A young woman came forward with accusations. The attorney would bring them to Kelly, and Kelly would pay them off along with a non-disclosure agreement. So we're talking a trail 2.5 decades long of young women who've been paid off by Kelly. And, you know, other parents, the parents in Georgia and Florida in my story were aware of accusations against Kelly and aware of the trial, but he was acquitted, by the way, by Judge Vincent Gaughan overseeing that case, who was about to try Laquan McDonald.
Yeah, Jason
right?
Dyke.
And Gaughan, for 6.5 years, a record-breaking amount of time for this to go to court, would convene every 6 to 8 weeks with the prosecution and the defense for 6 years and immediately retire to close chambers. The Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, and WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio, sued to get the transcripts of everything that happened in closed chambers released. And they lost in the state appellate court and the Illinois Supreme Court. So 90% of what happened in R. Kelly's trial remains sealed to the public and not public information, which I think, you know, as I said, there's so many tragedies in this story, but certainly the lack of transparency is one of them, and media and the record industry continuing to enable a man who seems to be hurting women, allegedly, is just unconscionable to me.
Jim DeRogatis, BuzzFeed contributor who wrote the story on R. Kelly today. You know, as you mentioned, we talked about the media, we talked about the record industry. Let's talk about the community. It's a part of the story that doesn't get talked about that often, that there has been a trail, as you mentioned, and a lot of people in the community where R. Kelly grew up, where they know a lot about what R. Kelly has done, and parents have covered. You mentioned as people have come forward and then rescinded or paid off. There was at a time way back in the day, it used to be sort of like a badge of honor if R. Kelly would be interested in your family. And there's something about the way that this has gone on for so many decades that's never really been rectified.
Yeah, it's true. And certainly what inspired you and me to work when we were at BEZ together on the story again in 2013 was the fact that Pitchfork had booked him to headline in Union Park at the 2013 Pitchfork Music Festival. And that, you know, Justin, that was half a mile away from the home of one of the girls I'd interviewed in 2000 who filed suit, and this is all public record. Her name is Tiffany Hawkins, who filed suit against Kelly for beginning a sexual relationship with her when she was 14 and who slit her wrists and tried to kill herself when that relationship ended. And here, you know, he's headlining Pitchfork for 30,000 bearded craft beer drinking hipsters who somehow get some sort of vicarious thrill out of him singing, "I want to be your sexosaurus, and I want to have sex in the closet, and I want to sex you up, and I want to ride you like I ride my Jeep."
There's some dichotomy there. I mean, and you and I have had this argument. I mean, I, as a fan of R. Kelly's music, there is something, you're right.
I could never forgive you for that.
I know, but there's something about...
I hear it differently, I'm sorry.
I know. But this concept that there is this strong fandom for the music that this artist creates. And at a certain point, you get into this strange argument, and this one goes way overboard, but this strange argument, can you divorce the artist from the man?
Well, let me put on my professor hat, because remember, I'm an assistant professor in the English department at Columbia. And Oscar Wilde said, "Art is neither moral nor immoral. It is merely good or bad." However, he also said that art is the ultimate biography, autobiography, of any artist. So Kelly has been, I mean, you know, he wrote Aaliyah's debut album, which came out right around the time he falsified a Chicago marriage license and married her at age 15. And he called that album Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. I think it's in the music, brother. I think he's been talking about this in his music for a very long time. And if you can listen to that and know that many, many young black women in this community and now in Atlanta have been hurt by this man, I can't.
Right.
Okay, Lou Reed was an awful human being, by all accounts. And I've interviewed him, and he was mean to me, and I've interviewed many people who worked with him. But in his music, he showed a rare kind of empathy for people who society did not care about. Troubled gay teens, heroin addicts, transvestites. R. Kelly, I think, has no empathy for anyone and follows a vision of an unbridled sexuality that is entirely 100% for his pleasure, and he doesn't care who he harms.
Now,
that's me as a critic.
Yeah, that's you as a critic.
That's not me as a reporter. I think the 5,500 words BuzzFeed published today.
Check it out. It's great.
For themselves.
I will say this. I mean, there's a great line in the piece, as one of the women says, "R. Kelly couldn't be sweeter. Robert is the devil."
Yeah, she called him the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that contrast as sort of what is, you know, the record industry, and as you mentioned, and music lovers and other people, they're buying into is this character of R. Kelly, and no one thinks about Robert or who's behind the music, and it's almost the idea that these are almost like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of scenario.
Yeah, I think so, but I think that the number of brave women who've come forward to tell their story for so many years, how much evidence does somebody need?
Yeah. Jim, you mentioned Hulk Hogan earlier, and you mentioned Gawker and BuzzFeed, of course, standing behind this 5,500 word story. Do you worry about the landscape as it is now, where artists, especially artists with money, can say, you have defamed my name, I'm going to come after you, it doesn't matter if I get a yes or a no, I'm just going to try and, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's horrifying, Justin. But we also have a president of the United States of America who retains a 36% popularity rating and continues to attack false news media. I mean, we have a president of the United States of America who was elected despite saying he wanted to grab women by the you-know-where. I think that the what the sociologists call rape culture, where we do not believe women who make accusations of being hurt by men, I think it's chronic. If you look at the FBI statistics, it's an infinitesimally small amount of people who actually report sexual assaults, and then the number of those that make it to trial, and then the number of those that result in convictions, we're talking something like 1 out of 10, which means 90% of sexual assaults never receive justice. And that's the context in which these stories come.
Jim DeRogatis, BuzzFeed contributor. You can check it out at BuzzFeed. It's all over the internet today, the story, the bombshell story about R. Kelly in Atlanta and in Chicago, sort of having a cult-like, harem. I don't know what you would say of women that he is essentially brainwashing allegedly and abusing allegedly in both states and cities. Jim DeRogatis, great work. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks for all your support through the years.